Grace, mercy, and peace from the one who has set the table before you. The text today is Luke chapter 10, as Pastor read, and we'll read it again. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Today's sermon starts with a very stressful subject, intimate to most of us or all of us. And blood pressure may escalate, so I'll start with it to get it out of the way. And I did ask Pastor for permission, and he said yes. It's caused fights between women and men, between parents and children, brothers and sisters, roommates and friends. Two distinct sides of the argument, one of them may be very right, and the other one may be very wrong. Statistically speaking, you're probably half and half. How to load a dishwasher. I'm not going to say which side I'm on, and I'm not going to ask you, because I don't want to sin against my brother this morning. I'll just say that I'm right. And we can all guess which people are on which side, based on their personalities, based on other aspects of their life, but it's surprisingly unpredictable. The messiest, most forgetful person can have the most obsessive routine, rules and reasons for loading what they think is the most wonderful invention of mankind. And the practical, level-headed, clean person who exudes wisdom can go absolutely insane. The good news is that there will not be any dishwashers in heaven. God must have made sure at least about that. We all have personalities that are good in certain situations and bad in others. Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Did you ask yourself when I read it, "Well, Martha should have," or "Mary should have," or did you know better than both of them? All we know is that if the house had a dishwasher, the text would be very different. Mary might have, for instance, thrived on being with people. That's why she was out in the living room. Martha might have had her zone as a hostess. I know that I have to make some conscious decisions to stay away from the grill because it calls to me. And I like being in the kitchen after a party, cleaning, while other people relax with coffee. But sometimes I don't. Attitude is very important when it comes to work. Here's what Martha had going for her. Verse 38, now they went on their way, and Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She did the right thing. She showed the hospitality that Jesus expected. He had just recently sent out the 72 to proclaim his word. And he said to them, "If a son of peace is in that house that you enter, your peace will rest upon him. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Whenever they receive you, eat and drink what is set before you." Jesus needed a house to enter, and Martha was ready. "Come in, come in, you're just in time." This is what was expected of her. Invite him and his disciples in. Feed them, give them rest, that they might be rejuvenated. Here's what Mary had going for her. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. The last time I preached to you several weeks ago, we saw the demon-possessed man sitting at Jesus' feet. And I said, of course he was sitting at Jesus' feet. Where else would he be? Mary got it. But let Martha answer that. Martha, where else should she be? Verse 40, Martha was distracted, much serving. She went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Martha, I'm really trying to be on your side. But she was distracted. The Greek is more closely drawn away, or cumbered, like encumbered, like hindered or oppressed. She was drawn away with much serving. She was cumbered. Her work was a hindrance. Speaking of hindrances, yes, if you put a large mixing bowl on the bottom rack of a dishwasher, the dishes on top will be hindered. The water won't get to where it needs to go. It's not doing its job right. Also, stack back to front. Also, envision what you want it to look like when it's full. But it's okay if you want to smack me, because God works with different personalities. Also, speaking of hindrances, has your family dropped any holiday traditions? Because people are getting old, or dying, or they moved away, and the work that goes into these traditions has become a burden or a hindrance. Sometimes, paper plates and Dixie cups really do free up the work, and there can be time for more talk, more play, more celebration. Hospitality is, after all, a human connection. But do you remember your grandmother's silverware that you keep maybe in the front closet, that she used to dust off and polish every Christmas, every year, before she died so long ago? Maybe take out the silverware this year and polish it off. Do you remember still how to wash it, how to polish, scrub the spots out till you see your face? If the work distracts you from the whole point of the holiday, find the point of the holiday again. If the work, though, if the service unites us in our hospitality for our guests and for each other, and we delight in the work, then do it. Work well and in love. Polish the silverware. Get the creases right on the napkins. After all, your guests are worth it. Some people eat at expensive restaurants so that others looking on can see how rich they are. There are people who are poorer. When they get a chance to eat at a restaurant, a nice restaurant, they eat to enjoy the heck out of the food. What's the point of being at the table? Martha and Mary were both hosting. Martha was hosting Jesus, the man, her friend, the one who needed food to drink, food to eat, water to drink. Mary was on another level altogether. By opening her ears and her heart, she was hosting Jesus, the living Word. Jesus was a guest in Martha's home. He was a guest in Mary's heart. Come in, come in, Mary's heart sings. You're just in time. It's a short passage, and we can only work with what Luke has given us. But we do have the Martha should haves. Martha should have had a better attitude. Martha should have focused on her task at hand rather than what her sister was doing. Martha should have relaxed a little bit with her preparations, if they were too much to handle. She should have reached out to Mary first instead of involving Jesus. She should have left Jesus alone. He was teaching and had work to do. But maybe Mary, too. Mary should have been helping her sister. She should have understood the need, her role in the house. She should have thought about what others needed, not just herself. And she should have got up and left Jesus alone. But there are no Jesus should-haves. There's only Jesus did. Jesus did have a good attitude. Jesus did focus on his task at hand. Jesus did understand his role. How many things did he do in order that scriptures may be fulfilled? He did think about what others needed, over himself, to the point of death. Martha and Mary should have left Jesus alone, more like Jesus should have left them alone, and me, and you. But you're his priority. You're his one needful thing. Created out of love and rescued out of the same love. But instead of Christ leaving you alone, his own Father left him alone. My God, why have you forsaken me? He cried on the cross and died for Mary and for Martha. It doesn't end, though, with Martha or Mary or Jesus being left alone. It ends with the focus on the celebration, on the feast, the whole point of the holiday. Verse 41, the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." Mary's chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. The good portion is that which satisfies the soul and leaves it not wanting. The word of the Lord. And I shall not want. One thing is needful, necessary. That is to put the word of the Lord above all else. There are no priorities in life. There is one priority. It's singular. It's that which draws you away from all else if needed. If you have more than one priority, then some priorities are pulling away from others, and your work, your life, has become a hindrance. Martha needed to get there. Jesus helped, and he responded with understanding and love to her. He knew both Mary and Martha's personalities, their responsibilities, and especially what was needed for them at that moment. They both needed to see the one needful thing. And Jesus, their friend and Savior, knows what they need. Here's where the dishwasher comes in. You can be very right and then think everyone else is wrong. But you can be very wrong about that same too. Jesus knows what's right and what's wrong for everyone else because we have all different personalities. Does anyone here have family members that all have the same personalities? We all have different personalities because do you want to say, "Jesus, tell my sister or my brother or friend or neighbor just to do the right thing, like me"? Are you a Mary or a Martha? Neither. You're you. You're distinct. Worth dying for. Jesus knows what you need, and he knows what your family needs. Our families, guys, have been given to us by God, and we need to treat them as such. Thinking we know the right way and that Jesus needs to catch up, like Martha, it will leave us dirty. And obviously the sermon isn't about how all of you load your dishwashers, but it is about how to get spots away. We are washed clean with our spots removed. We're pulled out of that closet and dusted off, polished until we are so clean that we can see, we reflect our Master's face. Through the crucifixion of the abandoned Son on the cross, Martha has stopped being the host for Christ. Now it's the other way around. And that's why we are not the true hosts. We are the tired travelers. We need a place to stay. Accept Christ's hospitality. Here, at the altar, Christ does invite us in. he says, with an open door and a singing heart and scars in his hands and his feet, "Come in, come in. You're just in time." "After all," he says, "my guests are worth it. Some people eat at expensive restaurants so that others looking on can see how rich they are. We, being poor, arrive at the table to see how rich the food has made us. Take this with you this week. God bless. Go in the peace until we meet again. Amen."